This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We're going to start with the review, inshallah, and try to work through as much as we can with the time that is allotted, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Obviously, we did not finish last week. We did not finish with the name Al-Alim and Al-Khabir. So we're going to cover some review first, and then we'll go straight into Al-Alim Al-Khabir, and then we'll follow that up with Al-Hakim, bi-idhnillah. Naam, Shaykh. اقرأ.
What does the name As-Samad mean?
What does As-Samad mean? No. We don't want a translation of eternal refuge. We want to have the deeper understanding of As-Samad. And we said that there were two main meanings of As-Samad, and that this is what the majority of the scholars of tafsir, the early scholars of language, said. That even though they're various, or ultimately there's a lot of different statements that are out there, they ultimately go back to two main concepts.
The one who is solid and not fragile.
Solid and not fragile. Okay, so when we look at, we get examples of some of the salaf that said, for example, هو الذي لا يأكل ولا يشرب. It's the one that doesn't eat, he doesn't drink. That's going back to him being a summit, not being in need of anything, him being solid, okay, and not fragile, not weak. And some of them said, for example, هو الذي لا يخرج منه شيء. He is the one from whom nothing exits, and he did not exit from anything. فلم يلد ولم يولد. He did not give birth, nor was he born. Right? So that concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being ultimately one who is solid, free of need, then this is part of the meaning of a summit. What was the second main meaning? Fadl.
He has
reaching the pinnacle of honor. There is something else that it's not necessarily honor, is not really the word I'm looking for here. Magnificence, majesty, superiority, and control, and nah. For they would say a sayyid alladhi kamula fi dadihi. All right. So he is that one who has reached the pinnacle of mastery over his servants. All right. Or is, huh? Where's?
You're right here.
There you go. MashaAllah. Nah. It is at that exalted stage of mastery. So when you look at it here, and we went through this very briefly, we talked about how a person whom we said that the meaning here is that he is the eternal refuge, in the sense that everyone has to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill their needs. You know, even if you look at something as trivial, we may think of it as being as trivial as relieving oneself. Subhanallah, a person cannot do that, except that Allah azza wa jalla has created them a certain way to allow them to relieve themselves of that which is not necessary from what they eat and drink. Otherwise, if that was to be carried within the person, it's going to harm them. And it's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't thank Him for enough. And you can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for that ni'mah. And you're reminded of that as you exit from the restroom, and so you say what? Ghufranak. Allah, forgive me. I can't thank you enough for that ni'mah. And for those who have had to use or to relieve themselves other ways, there's people today. Yesterday they were able to. Something happened to them, an accident. a shooting or whatever. And now they have to have a bag for the rest of their lives. Now somebody, or they get to a certain age, you know, Lumstein. The point is that Allah is a summit. He's the one that all turn to for whatever needs that they have. And when we talk about that total independence, and there's a correlation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Ghani, here. But when we talk about that total independence, we talked about it with human beings, and that it's on two levels, right? That there's that first level where you, alhamdulillah, are not in need of anybody else. And that's one level of you know, being independent and having honor, is that you don't have to turn to anyone else for anything. Alhamdulillah, you have what suffices you, right? But then it's another level when people have to turn to you. That's another level. And that happens with some human beings. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is everyone. He is in need of no one, and everyone is in need of Him. Not just every human being, but all of the creation. For He is a summit. Nah.
Who mentioned the explanation of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu for this name?
You remember we covered a whole slide just with the Ibn Abbas's explanation of the name As-Samad. And it was a beautiful explanation because it showed you how vast the name As-Samad really is. Who mentioned that explanation? Where did that come from?
Tabari.
MashaAllah.
Ibn Taymiyyah and
At-Tabari. At-Tabari is the one who narrated it. Ibn Taymiyyah doesn't narrate in general. Right? Ibn Taymiyyah is not going to have in general. Now, we have people today who have isnad back to Tabari. But that's more of an ijazah style, not necessarily looking at each person in the Senate. It's to maintain that unique system of Islam, which is to have a chain that goes back to the person you're talking about. But Tabari is actually narrating in his book from his sheikh, who heard from his sheikh, you know, till they get to Ibn Abbas. What's the name of Tabari's book? Stop cheating. What's the name of Tabari's book? No, it's not Tariq al-Tabari. Tabari does have a Tariq, which, by the way, has been translated into English. I'm only saying that because it was funded by Iran. And the reason why is because in Tariq al-Tabari, he narrates. So the muhaddithin the scholars of hadith have a general rule, and that general rule is that if I mention where I got it from, it's on you to check the veracity. If I tell you so and so told me that so and so told me, you can't come back and blame me now because it wasn't the truth. You understand? So this is in general the muhaddithun, the scholars of hadith, they have this principle. So At-Tabari narrates on Ibn Abi Mikhnaf, who had Shi'i leanings, or was a Shi'i for that matter. And so some of the narrations in Tariq At-Tabari are not the typical actual history that you would find in the books of Ahl Sunnah. And so the Shi'a, they liked it for that reason, and they funded its translation. But a lot of it is very good. I mean, a lot of it is very important as well. Tell you, how do we get on that? Oh, Tariq al-Tabari. It's Tabari's tafsir, okay, which is often referred to as Jami' al-Bayan. Tayyip. Or they just call it tafsir al-Tabari. Tayyip, last question here for review.
When should we use this name in dua?
What name are we talking about? A summit. Nah. When is that name used in dua? When do we say that? Will we say it on a daily basis, monthly, weekly, or what? No.
We use it once in the morning and once in the evening with the name.
How? Were you just going to say a summit
no,
in the morning?
No, we say it with.
By the way, before you answer that shit.
Al-Fatiha.
Summit is not in Al-Fatiha. Who said that? Tayyib, before we get there, you'll find that for every name of Allah, that there's somebody out there that has some kind of chant. No, seriously. Or dhikr or whatever. And they'll tell you, and this is rampant amongst certain tariqas, if you will. They'll teach their followers, you know, the sheikh will teach the murid, the Sufi followers. He'll teach them that if you say a samad, for example, I'm not making this up, by the way. If you say a samad 1,000 times, don't try it at home. If you say a samad 1,000 times, that the truth of heavens and the earth will be shown to you, or something like this. And then they have some of them have different ones, 284 times. They've got their own thing. The reality is that this deen, alhamdulillah, is complete. And had there been something like that that we should know about, it would not have skipped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach us. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us what we need to know about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught some of his companions to recite Qul huwallahu ahad, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas in the morning and in the evening. And he himself alayhi salatu wasalam, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrated, he would recite it into his hands, repeat that three times before going to sleep. Point is that wallahi, if we take just what was narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do in the morning and the evening before going to sleep, after salawat and so on and so forth, we would not find enough time to do what was narrated. Just what was narrated. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying along with everything else you do in a day, eating and sleeping and so forth, how do we find the time to do these things that have not been narrated from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and just make up stuff based off of someone else's experience or what they saw in a dream or whatever? Nah, because this has been, for some people, what their sheikh sees in a dream becomes revelation. And it becomes part of the sources of Islam for them. I'm saying until today, in our advanced world in 2018, this is still a reality for certain people. Wallahu musta'an. And we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance. Tayyib. So when should we use this name in dua? At least the times that I just mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this name is only mentioned once in the Quran, which is in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Right? And that surah the Prophet ﷺ encouraged reciting at various times in the day. Not to mention that the surah itself, as the Prophet ﷺ said, تَعْدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ, that it is equivalent to reciting a third of the Quran. I think we already did that part, huh? What should we get out of today? We're going to deal with the name Al-Hakim, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we want to talk about the two meanings, because Al-Hakim also has two distinct meanings. They're very related, but they are distinct nonetheless. Naam, Sheikh. We're going to get there. Yeah. Because Al-Du'a hada laysa fihi as-samad wa innama fihi al-alim, inshallah. Sanasil ilayhi bi idhnillah. Malik. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua that Allah give one of his companions hikmah. Who was that companion? Anybody know off the top of their head? Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas? What did the Prophet say to Ibn Abbas? Ibn Abbas. In Arabic, what did he say to him? We'll see when we get there, inshallah. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did say, Allahumma alimhu ta'wil. Allahumma faqihu fi deen wa alimhu ta'wil. Oh Allah, give him fiqh of the deen and teach him the ta'wil. Right, the interpretation of the Quran. Prophet sallallahu alaihi did make that dua for Ibn Abbas. And he also made dua for him to give him hikmah. We'll get there, inshallah. You were wrong, but you were right. And you were right, but you didn't know why you were right. You know how the math teacher says, show your work. It's not a multiple choice. Tight. Last one, name five benefits of knowing the name Al-Hakim. Nah. Tayyib. So we dealt with last week, we covered Al-Alim Al-Khabir, talked about the evidence from the Quran of Alim Al-Khabir. We went strictly, how many times, by the way, was Al-Alim mentioned in the Quran? Who remembers? Over 150 times. It's one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's been mentioned the most. And, you'll see, because there's a big difference between the amount of times that, for example, Al-Malik, right, has been mentioned, and Al-Alim has been mentioned. All right? And that, all of that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hikmah. Tayyib. Where did we get to? We got to here. And we kind of rushed through the benefits. So we're just going to go back over this very quickly, inshallah. And then we'll move on to Al-Hakim bi-idhnillah. All right? Is that cool? Tayyib. Bismillah. Read, Sheikh. Be mindful.
Be mindful of what you think and what you write.
Okay. Why? What does this have to do with Al-Alim? What does Al-Alim mean? The All-Knower. The All-Knower. And so the idea here is that obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you do. Right? The point that I was trying to make here, is that Allah also knows what you think. And so for a lot of us, we're conscious of what we do simply because there are other people around. So we may be conscious of what we do. I'm not going to do that because somebody else is watching me. Somebody else is going to find out. Somebody to the end of it. So sometimes that will keep a person in check, which is not a bad thing, but they should be more afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is that all of your actions stem from what? Intentional actions stem from what? I just gave you a hint. It stems from your intention. Intention starts with a what? With a thought. And so you have to be mindful of what you think, because Allah Azza wa Jal knows what you are thinking. And if you're more conscious of what you think, you won't have to be as concerned about what you do, because you'll already be thinking that which is positive. Because you don't want, look, your heart was made to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want that heart to be preoccupied with sin and evil thoughts and you know, running through different haram scenarios in your head. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, and that heart was created for Him and to know Him. So you want to push that stuff out before it even becomes an intention. Before it becomes an intention. Because stopping it at the point that it becomes an intention is difficult. Stopping it when it's a fleeting thought is a lot easier. And so we want to think positively. We only want to think in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once we know that He is Al-Alim, then that should push us to think in a manner that is more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu alimun bidhati sudur. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of what is in your chest. Wa inna Allaha bi kulli shay'in alim. And Allah is the all-knower of each and everything. Now, number two, Sheikh.
Ask Allah for knowledge and guidance.
Right. And this is, as we mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only instructed in the Quran to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an increase in one thing, and that thing was knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي what? عِلْمًا. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. All right. And so you'll notice here that when we talk about Al-Alim, is different than Ar-Rabb. You're not going to ask Allah to be a Rabb. You're not going to ask Allah to be an Ilah. You're not going to ask, right? So there's a difference in approach with these names, by the way. Tell you. Now.
Be humble. The story of Musa and
Al-Khadir. 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 Now. There's two different ways to pronounce it. Khidr. Al-Khadir is more correct. Wallahu a'lam. So, what did we mention there? Because I did talk about that but I was rushing. So, shit. You remember anybody? What was the point here? Story of Musa and Al-Khadir. Yeah. When it comes to what? What are we talking about now? We're talking about Allah's name, Al-Alim. Right. I don't know that Khadir was more knowledgeable than Musa. We would say about those particular events. Right. So what happened? I mentioned a hadith. When they were, yes.
You mentioned the hadith where Khadr said, if you stick a needle into the ocean, that's different.
Okay. They were together, Musa and Al Khadr, and they saw a bird.
Right, the beak. Now it's compared to the law of knowledge, just like that which is left on the beak after it comes out from the ocean.
Jazakallah khair. I couldn't have said it better myself. Tayyib. Next. Allah knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for you. Perhaps you hate a thing, and it is good for you, and perhaps you love a thing, and it is bad for you, and Allah knows while you do not know. And inshallah, we're going to cover a little bit more related to that, related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Hakim. So I'm not going to go into too much detail. But I do have the story here of the general and Abu Qilaba, rahimahullah ta'ala. So there was a man from Bani Sa'd, and he was a general in the army of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Does anybody know who Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad was? Anybody? Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. He was the one with the other that was killed Hussein radiyallahu and Hussein was killed when the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hussein was killed when, come on, this is not rocket science. Yeah, exactly. No, he was killed on Ashura, 61. No. And, radiyallahu anhu. And so, this particular general, he actually fell off a roof and broke both his legs. فَدَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ أَبُو قِلَابَةَ فعاده فقال له أرجو أن يكون ذلك خيرا وخيرا. So Abu Qilaba went and visited him while he was being treated, and he said I you know hope that this is what is good for you, this is what is best for you. And he said, يا أبا قلابة وأي خيرة في كسر رجلي جميعا. He said, what good could it be in me breaking both my legs? Are you kidding me? Right? That's like a guy about to go to the, you know, NBA finals and he breaks both his legs. Say, nah, this is good for you. What are you talking about? What do you mean? He says, فَقَالَ مَا سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ أَكْثَرَ فَلَمَّا كَانَ بَعْدَ ثَلَاثٍ. So 3 days later, وَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ كِتَابُ بْنِ زِيَادٍ يَسْأَلُهُ أَنْ يَخْرُجِ فَيُقَاتِلِ الْحُسَيْنِ بْنَ عَلِيٍّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Now, so what happened was 3 days didn't even go by, except that Ibn Ziyad sent the letter to him telling him to go out, it's time to fight. And you need to go fight al-Husayn ibn Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Now, mind you, not all of these people were convinced. I don't want to go into the whole story, but they weren't convinced that they should be out there fighting the grandson of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, especially because he didn't even have an army at that time. Right? I mean, that was not even a fight. It was a slaughter. And so he responded to the person who was the messenger, yani bringing him the letter to tell him, all right, gather up the troops and go out. He says, so he said to him, قَدَ صَابَنِي مَا صَابَنِي قَالَ ذَلِكَ لِلْرَسُولِ. He says, so he told that messenger, look, you see what kind of condition I'm in. I'm not going out to do anything. فَمَا كَانَ إِلَّا سَبْعًا حَتَّى وَافَى الْخَبَرُ بِقَتْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَقَالَ الرَّجُلُ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ أَبَا قِلَابَ لَقَدْ صَدَقَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ خِيرَةً لِي. Right? So he said there wasn't 7 days that went by until he got news that al-Husayn had been killed. Who wants to be responsible for that? I mean, even Ibn Ziyad's mother cursed him and said, you will never see Jannah. You killed the grandson of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. I mean, this is his own mind. But anyway, فَقَالَ الرَّجُلُ So then that man said, who was the general, he said, may Allah have mercy on Abu Kilaba. Indeed, he was right on point. He لَقَدْ صَدَقْ. He was so truthful. Indeed, this was better for me, that my legs are here broken. I'm sitting back and I ain't got nothing to do with that. This was much better for me. Because there would have been no way. I mean, he would have been between a rock and a hard place. If he would have refused to go out and fight, he would have been killed himself. So the breaking of his legs was actually a saving of his life and his salvation in the hereafter. Alhamdulillah. You understand? So the point is what? Allah knows what's best for you. Allah knows what's best for you. Now, and then there's the issue of dua, you know, making dua. We're still under what name now? Al-Alim. Al-Alim and Al-Khabir. There's a dua that is made based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Alim, which has his attribute of knowledge, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledgeable of all things. So, that is the dua of Al-Istikhara. Does anybody know Al-Istikhara? What's it all about? Have you ever heard of this Salat before? Salat Al-Istikhara. Salat Al-Istikhara. What is Salat Al-Istikhara? No. We're not talking about Taraweeh. Somebody said during Ramadan. No, not during Ramadan. Istikhara. Okay, somebody raise their hand. Somebody who's confident. Tell you, Father.
For guidance, a prayer for guidance.
Okay, a prayer for guidance. Anybody else? Because that's true. Give me a little more.
Prayer for khair guidance.
Nice. A prayer for khair. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even al khair, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. Basically, what it means is that you're turning the affair over to Allah. Oh Allah, you decide for me. I'm conflicted, or maybe you're not even conflicted. Maybe you have a pretty clear picture on where you want to go with this, but it's a big decision to make. And so you want to put it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that dua, it starts out, you're asking Allah by His knowledge. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi'ilmik. That's the very beginning of this dua. And in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach his companions this dua like he would teach them a surah of the Quran. And this dua was important, and it's made. It's called. It's a person is supposed to pray two rak'ahs, okay, min ghairi faridatin. So it's not to be, these two rak'ahs are not two rak'ahs that you are going to pray, for example, at Fajr. It has to be a sunnah prayer. That's the opinion of some of the scholars, meaning that you can pray it with a sunnah. So for example, after you pray two rak'ats after Isha, then you can make the dua of istikhara after those two rak'ats. Some other scholars say no, it has to be two totally separate rak'ats that have nothing to do with your sunnah prayers. Alright? In any event, it cannot be from a fard salat. You cannot go pray dhuhr and then make istikhara after dhuhr and think that it counts for al-istikhara. Istikhara is a very important salat, ikhwan. To the point that al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, before putting any hadith in his sahih, he used to pray istikhara. For every single hadith, he would pray istikhara before putting that in his in his book. So al-istikhara is to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi'ilmik. Oh Allah, I ask you by your knowledge. I seek your choice. I seek your choice. Right? I'm asking you based upon your knowledge. Wa astaqdiruka biqudratik. And I am seeking your decree based on your qudrah. You, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have the power and the ability, and so I'm seeking what your decree is based on your power and ability. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ. And I'm asking you for your great bounties. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ. Because you have the power and I don't, and you have the knowledge and I don't. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And you are the one who is all knowledgeable of the unseen. And anything that is happening in the future for us is from the unseen. Allahumma in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr. Oh Allah, if you know that this affair, and then you say what that thing is. In kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr. Khayrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa ajili amri wa ajili. So if you know that this is good for me, for my religion and for my worldly affairs, and for that which is hasten, that which is going to happen now and that which is going to happen later, فَقْدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي. Then make it, then decree it for me and make it easy for me and bless me in that, and bless me in that decision. You see how great this prayer is though? وَنْ كُنْتَ تَعْلَمَ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ شَرٌ لِي فِي دِينِ وَمَعَاشِ وَعَاجِلِ أَمْرِ وَآجِلِ فَاصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي وَاصْرِفْنِي عَنِّ وَقْدُرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرِ حَيْثُ كَانَ ثُمَّ أَرْضِنِي بِهِ. So if you know that this thing is bad for my religion, bad for my worldly affairs, bad for what is happening now, or what is going to be hastened, bad for the later consequences, if you will, then take it away from me, avert it from me, and avert me from it. And then decree for me the good, wherever it may be, and then please me with it. Yani, subhanAllah, not only do you decree, because subhanAllah, ahyanan, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees for you that which is good, causes those legs to be broken, right? And you're not pleased with that decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not pleased with that decree. So, because you don't realize that that's what's better for you. And so you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only to decree that which is better for you, but to allow you to be pleased with that decree. Istikhara is an amazing dua. And it goes back to what? Al-Aleem. It goes back to your real belief that Allah is all-knowing, coupled with the fact that He is Al-Hakim, which we're going to cover, and that He is all-wise, coupled with the fact that He is Ar-Rahman, that He is merciful, that He is Al-Barr Rahim, that He wants what's good for you. He's beneficent, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, understanding Allah's names, and we talked about this last week, not understanding His names in a vacuum. And yes, we study each one of them independently, because you can't just study all the names at one time. But realize we're talking about Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these names, all of these attributes belong to the one whom we pray to. And so it's very important. This dua, al-istikhara, brings together a lot of that. Understanding that Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, wants that good for you. And understanding that He knows what's good for you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib. Work with your partner. Work with your partner. لِلَّذِينَ يُؤْلُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ تَرَبُّسُ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرِ فَإِنْ فَاءُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ وَإِنْ عَزَمُوا الطَّلَاقَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. فضل شيخ اقرأ.
Those who vow abstinence, that is, staying away from their wives, have a limitation of 4 months.
طيب, let's stop there. I want you to understand the ayah. What does that mean? What does that mean? This is English, by the way. I want you to tell me what the English means. Nah, I'm just making it clear. I don't want you. Tell you, Father Sheikh, you want to take a stab at it? Yeah, Father. So I saw some people with their hands up. Huh? What does vow mean? What does that mean? Let's start there. So making an oath, swearing that what? That I'm not going to have any type of intimate relationships with you. All right? Tell you. So the person does this. Is that divorce?
No.
Okay. But now what's happening? Because life is not normal at that stage, correct? if a man vows and I swear by Allah I'm not going to touch you, we're not going to, that's not a healthy marriage, right? Now, so if this happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying what? Those who do that, they have a limitation of 4 months. After 4 months, the judge gets involved. He's either going to make a forced separation, a fesq, yani annul the marriage, and then it's going to be upon the husband is going to have to take care of certain financial things, or you have to go back and you know, get back to a loving household. You cannot just live like that. So the judge will get involved at that point after 4 months. Clear? Play. If they
reconcile, that is, come together and restore their relationship, surely Allah is forgiving, merciful.
Play. What's the significance of Allah mentioning here that He is Ghafoor and Rahim? Sorry?
They swore upon Allah they was going to do it.
Okay.
And they didn't fulfill it, so. I mean, that's what I take from it. Tell
you, somebody else?
It's a bad thing to, you know.
Right. Because that is not a good course of action to take in the first place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that if they come back and they mend their relationship, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forgives and He is merciful. And it's also a kind of hint to the man that whatever pushed you to this situation where you feel like you had to go there, realize that the same way you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, and the same way that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, you need to behave with mercy and you need to have some forgiveness. As our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, La yafraq mu'minun mu'mina idha kariha minha khuluqa radiya minha akhar. A believing man should never hate a believing woman. If he despises one quality that she has, there's going to be another quality that he likes. Right? So know that Allah is forgiving and He is merciful. Now, further.
But if they are determined to divorce, Allah is all hearing, all knowing.
Now, Allah is Sami'un Alim. So we're on this name, Al-Alim. We're on the name, Al-Alim. What I want you to do with your partner is I want you to discuss with your partner, why do you think Allah mentioned His names As-Sami' and Al-Alim at the end of this passage? Is the question clear? We talked about Ghafoor al-Rahim. We said, okay, yeah, maybe this is like this. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't start yet. Laith. Kaab, don't start yet. Think about it, because I want everybody to take the same amount of time. Okay, you start now. You have 2 minutes to discuss this with your partner. 2 minutes. Pick a partner. Nobody's exempt. You have 40 seconds left. 40 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
10 seconds, Ikhwan. Okay. No questions. Only answers. This is what we're gonna do. Inshallah, Doc, whoever has an answer, you make sure they get the mic. Who's ready? Oh, now everybody's scared. Have I answered your question?
Elsa, man.
Nah, I'm sure.
The law depends on the eye of what the human being is thinking. And
from Samir or from Ali? Samir,
He's hearing it. So isn't hearing thinking too?
No.
I mean, for the human being, if you hear something, aren't you thinking?
Keep going.
All right. El Alim is Allah is all-knowing. And in a relationship, the human being, both male and female, when an argument goes on, then Allah knows what it is. But as Muslim, we should try to prevent arguing with each other. As Muslim, we should try to reconcile a relationship and trust and be concerned with each other instead of not being forgiven. And Allah is the best in all that. All right.
Abdurrahman is back there? I can't see him. He's high today, huh?
With the name being all here, we took it to two aspects of the ayah.
Mm-hmm.
First, he's here. He heard the vow that was given.
Okay.
And he also knows that if they decide to divorce, he hears the, because in order to divorce, you have to mention it.
Mm-hmm.
So he hears that.
Mm-hmm.
With the all-knowing part, we took it to the limitation of the 4 months. Whereas though he knows if you overextended the 4 months of that vow, he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And he also knows if you determined to divorce her in the beginning anyway.
Good. Okay. All right. Last one, and then everybody in the back. All right. I mean, I guess go ahead. Cobb has to get a chance.
Basically, it's summarizing what the two brothers before me said. For example, that's telling me that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Okay, he hears things that we never say before and after the vows, even though. The man takes the vow. He may say things during the marriage, things like that. That if he's mindful of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, hearing what he says, he or she is going to refrain from it. And then with Al-Alim, although the brother makes the vow, Allah knows his real intent. Whether his intent is to actually try to mend the situation or to harm his wife, along with us.
No, JazakAllah khair. Look, I want to tell you that there's really, alhamdulillah, we can't sit up here and say that this is right or this is wrong or this is definitive. My goal is to get you to start thinking about what Allah is saying in the Quran and to realize that you can think about it. A lot of Muslims put down the Quran after Ramadan. It's a Ramadan exercise. But the reality is that we could do this every day, all day, and not get tired of it. And I'm talking about year after year. And you read something, subhanAllah, and the Quran talks to you in different ways at different times. And so when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu got on the minbar and he said wama Muhammadun illa rasulun qad khalat min qablihi rusul, yani Muhammad is a messenger, other messengers have preceded before him. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said it was like the first time I heard the ayah. How many times had he heard that ayah? How many times had he read that ayah himself? How many times had he probably pondered over the meaning of that ayah? But because of certain circumstances and situations, it means something different to you at different times. It's the amazing, aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech. And so the idea is to get you thinking. And I mean, there's so many ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes those ayat with one of his names or two of his names. And we need to begin to ponder. So what some of the scholars have mentioned here, and as it relates to As-Sami' al-Alim, is that divorce, as one of the brothers in the back mentioned, divorce is going to be vocalized, verbalized. Yes, it can be written, but in general, what happens with divorce is that it's verbalized. But that is done two different ways. So it can either be unambiguous, or there may be some ambiguity in it. And the unambiguous way is when a man says, "I divorce you." Okay, that's very clear. But there are other ways that it happens, and it can mean divorce or it may not. So if a man says, "Go back and live with your family," right? Go back and live with your family, to his wife. Now the issue is, and let's just say they went to a qadi, to a judge, to try to figure out, well, what's going on here? Does that count as divorce or not? What does that go back to now? Intention. Was his intention by saying, ilhaqi bi ahlik, go back and live with your family, was his intention to divorce her? Or was his intention that he needed some time away? Right? And Allah hears what he said, and he knows what his intention is. Right? Fallahu Sami'un Alim. In Azam al-Talaq, if they are determined to divorce, Allah is the hearing and the knowing. That's one of the things that the scholars have mentioned with Sami'un Alim. The point is, this is how we grow in our understanding of the deen as a whole. And there's nothing that is more noble and more honorable to know in this deen than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know him through what he has revealed to us by way of his names and his attributes, through his revelation. And that's why so much in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing us out of his mercy to know who he is to the best of our, you know, ability and our limited capabilities and understanding. Obviously, we didn't get past that. It's 7:47. We're supposed to pray 2 minutes ago. I'm just going to mention here that Al-Alim is mentioned with several other names. As we said, that Al-Alim comes in the Quran over what? Over 150 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Alim. So it's mentioned with several other names, in conjunction with those names. It's mentioned with As-Sami', or who is Sami' al-Alim, 32 times. Who al-Alim al-Hakim, that's mentioned in the Quran 36 times. We'll talk about that next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Who al-Aziz al-Alim, that's mentioned 6 times. Al-Alim al-Khabir, mentioned 4 times. Al-Alim al-Qadir, mentioned 4 times. Al-Alim al-Halim, which is here, 3 times, and so forth. So it's mentioned with many other names. It's one of those things where you can take as an exercise and read the Quran and look for that. And what does it mean in this context? Because in each context, you know, it's going to take on a different meaning. And perhaps we'll get to some of that. Perhaps we'll get to some of that next week when we deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Hakim, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We have to stop there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك